Blog Talk Radio.
We are the heirs of that first revolution.
Will a strong and united America still be a force for freedom and prosperity around the world?
America has created the longest peacetime economic expansion in our history.
We are the heirs of that first revolution.
Good common sense and sound judgment of the American people. And their essential love of justice.
Hi, welcome to the Kudzu Vine for November 30th. Welcome, Catherine. Welcome, Tim.
Hello. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Yeah, and a happy, Thanksgiving. Our shows kind of bookend each end to Thanksgiving. But one thing I want to give y'all kudos on y'all's job. Last week, I noticed that last week, we did the triple play of Georgia Blogosphere. We were on Blog for Democracy, Tondi's Tavern, and Peach Pundit.
Yeah.
All three mentioned the show last week. And, of course, I mean, Catherine, you usually write the one for Blog for Democracy, but then it also got a lot of comments, which is, you know, kind of starting a discussion. And every place talked about how Sarah Doyle helped herself. So I guess right off the bat, what do y'all think about y'all's good work?
Well, I just have to say that I thought, Tim, you did a great job of picking up the slack when that guy didn't show up. You were really good. Like you kept the conversation going without even a pause. It was really good. I thought we had a really good conversation after that. I really did. So thank you for picking that up.
And they were right about something, David. Sarah Doyle really did help herself last week. I was really impressed with her. I really was. I don't know why her opponent did not show, but she really did well.
I thought she did really well too. And I have a friend who's an attorney who was very concerned about her experience and the fact that she doesn't have a lot of criminal experience. And I saw her today, and she said that thanks to us and the questions that we all asked, she had voted for her. So I think that's good.
Yeah, because I tell you what, I don't think a lot of Democrats knew anything a lot about either of these candidates and her willingness to come on and answer the way she did. And I did take the time to listen to the show, and, I mean, she really presented herself well. And then in contrast to the other guy, and I'll tell you, I mean, I'd called the guy, I'd spoken to him, I'd emailed Mike Sheffield, and I was surprised. You know, I thought, well, there's a chance after all that negative press that he comes back and says, hey, can I be on this week's show? And we, you know, we're the kind of people who probably would have let him. But he didn't, and that may have been a tactical move. I mean, this may be a hard partisan thing. This guy's going to cede the Democratic vote, which if you got to figure she's getting some Republican vote with people like Mike Bowers and others supporting her, then if she gets a decent sliver of the Republican vote and then just really – gets a ton of Democratic vote, she's in.
Yeah.
Well,
David, I think she helped herself, and I think he hurt himself, really.
David, I don't see why he would have thought something like that. I mean, it's a nonpartisan race. And, of course, yes, we're partisans, but, frankly, I didn't know what political affiliation either one of them were. So, you
and
know,
she
I
freely admitted that she – well, maybe it wasn't on – did she talk about having Republicans – supporting her? I listened to Wilson Smith's show too, and she clearly talks about how she has Republicans supporting her as well.
Yeah.
So she's not she's not bashful about that. You know, she freely admits that she has both Democrats and Republicans supporting her. But yeah. That I mean, I think she's really good. I mean, I really hope she wins
Of the two. And then so that was you know, good, interesting thing, because that is one of the three races on everybody throughout the state's ballot. Now, of course, they're more local races, but and that was the one that's the most unknown. Certainly, I mean, Chambliss, people are familiar with his record, people are familiar with Jim Martin, who he is. People are familiar with Bubba McDonald, and I think people are starting to learn more about Jim Powell. So that was the more unknown race. And we just wanted to give that plenty of time. I want to talk about that right off before we get into the two biggies that we'll talk about more. And later in the show, from Gwinnett, we may get two calls, possibly even three calls, but two calls from Gwinnett. Steve Deek's going to call in and give us a report from that bus tour rally in Norcross, which is going to be one of the final ones. And then Jim Powell is going to try to call in, although I've been told it's pretty busy out there. And there's a chance there may be some other surprises. But so it should be some interesting reports later in the show from there. But all the folks coming in throughout this election, and I guess tomorrow on the Republican side is the biggie, Sarah Palin coming in, although, you know, Democrats have already had Al Gore and Bill Clinton come in. And then I think Ludacris, who is a Georgia citizen, is going to do a rally with John Lewis for Jim Martin. All this attention we've seen on Saturday Night Live. Catherine, what's your take on all these visits in the race?
Well, you know, I think that they appeal to people. I think they've been very strategic in, you know, bringing people in who will appeal to demographics that may not be already engaged and willing to show up. You know, like today, Reverend Al Sharpton was at the First Iconium Baptist Church here in Atlanta with Reverend Timothy McDonald, who's a big Jim Martin supporter and a Jim Powell supporter. So hopefully that, you know, route got some people engaged and, you know, willing to vote. And then John Conyers is here now. Charlie Rangel was here this week. Of course, Donna Brazile was here this week and, you know, had a couple of meetings, including a meeting with some sort of powerhouse Democratic women. So I think that they're strategically bringing people in who will have small or medium-sized events with specific constituencies, and I think that's a smart way to do it. You know, it's nice to get the big names in. Certainly, Bill Clinton's always welcome in Atlanta as far as I'm concerned, but I think bringing some perhaps lesser known to the general public but well known to some demographics I think is a good strategy.
Yes. Tim, your thoughts?
Well, I was thinking about the other side of the coin there. Every big name Republican you can think of except Bush has been down here, and of course I don't think anybody wants him down here. and finally the big crowd pleaser herself, Governor Palin, is gonna make the rounds tomorrow with Saxby. I think they're going to make four stops, the last one being there in Gwinnett. Obviously, that's a deal to try to steal the media coverage at the last minute and to sway what few voters are sitting at home to get them out to the polls. I don't know if it'll work or not.
I want to make a point on Beachy, y'all. I think that the timing of the Sarah Palin visit is very, very tactically smart. I mean, right before the election,
right,
having their biggest star, because apparently, you know, people, they really just don't care if she can't, Republican hardcores, they don't care if she can't name the countries involved in NAFTA or doesn't know that Africa is not a country, it's a continent. I mean, but that's the kind of folks that can motivate that base, and having her come tomorrow is very tactically strong. Now, talking about people that came on to visit on the Democratic side, I think Donna Brazile was really big in that. Not that, you know, Donna Brazile coming to an event is really going to turn a lot of folks on that aren't real, real activists, but she tactically probably came in the office and helped them on strategy because she did the Landrieu runoff, the turnout part of that, in Louisiana several years ago, which was a big win for Democrats, much like Martin's trying to do. So I think her coming in and actually helping in the state was pretty big. One that I was surprised, and I mean, obviously, I kind of understand why, you know, President-elect Obama didn't come in, being busy setting up the administration, worrying about the economy, and not trying to want to look too partisan or try to take a hit, if you will, if this race doesn't turn out to be a Jim Martin win. But why didn't Joe Biden come in? Any thoughts on that, Tim or Catherine?
Well, how much help would he have been, really?
Would he have been another name?
I
mean, you have to say, well, or he could have come into a different part of the state than some of these other folks came into.
But, I mean, how well does Joe Biden play in southern Georgia? I don't know. I mean.
Well, I mean, I'm just using.
What I think would have been great, and, you know, I think, of course, they're all busy. I think it would have been really good for Michelle Obama to come.
I think so.
I think it would have been a little less risky politically, but I think it would have been very helpful for GOTV. But I don't know. I understand why they didn't.
And I get the idea she may be tired of being on the trail and knowing that she has to move her daughters from Chicago.
Well, come on.
To
I mean, she could do it while they're in school.
She could spare one day. but I get the sense that campaigning for president was not her first, you know, choice. I don't think she just loved and relished this, say, like both of the Clintons do. I think she's not the political animal some are. And so I get why she might not want to do it. But then you're saying, you know, Joe Biden's no help. You may very well be right. But if the vice presidential pick is no help in getting people out in elections, then aren't you basically saying he was a bad pick?
Well, I'm not saying he was. I just don't know how well he would play in Georgia.
But what
I don't think that
trying to
I don't
be
think
the moderate,
the,
you know, appeal to older whites, you know, those kind of folks that are probably they didn't know about, you know, Barack Obama trying to, you know, was trying to appeal to those folks. Well, if he can't appeal to those folks in say North Georgia or whatever, I think you're. I mean, and I don't disagree with you. I think you're saying he's not the best pick as far as being a star for the party.
Well, he might not be the best pick in Georgia. I mean, I think he probably did help him in Pennsylvania and Ohio and maybe even in, like, Virginia and Maryland. But I just, I mean, but that's, you know, I'm no expert. I think they were, I mean, of course it would have been great for President-elect Obama to come. I mean, that would have been awesome. But I think getting Al Sharpton and these other guys in here and Donna Brazile, I think that was probably as helpful as Joe Biden. Or more.
I jump in with a question about Biden? If it's perceived that President-elect Obama might have been expending political capital that he could not afford to expend right now by campaigning here, would not the same perception have been there for his vice president?
It might have. You're right, it might have. But then Al Gore came in for White Fowler. That's what I'm using as part of the model. I never hear the guy's name mentioned. I mean, he is the forgotten man in all this. I mean, Hillary Clinton, a lot of people are saying, hey, you know, with her becoming Secretary of State, she jumps to number two as far as high profile in the administration. I mean, obviously, Rahm Emanuel's probably jumped Joe Biden in higher profile.
Well, it's no sin to be jumped in profile by Hillary Clinton.
No.
I mean, she's going to jump a lot of people in the administration.
Yeah.
But
well,
the
other thing is, I do think that, generally speaking, historically, vice presidents do have more, they tend to be more of the political.
They take care of the dirty work.
Yeah, they do.
And this
I
would
mean,
be
so
considered
it wouldn't
dirty
have
work.
Been, it wouldn't have been I don't think it would have been as much of a political risk to send Joe Biden down here. But again, I think that I mean, I don't know if they had the opportunity and they turned it down, or if they talked about it and they thought it was not the best choice. I don't know, but I think they did well by the people that they did bring in. So.
By the way, when you said turned it down. Who do you think turned it? You mean Jim Martin's campaign turned it down? Or?
I don't know.
That would be sad if that was the case. I have no reason to believe that's the case. But
I have no reason to believe
said,
that's
we'll
the case
If they said,
we'll
send that Joe, and they said, skip it, that's really, really
No,
sad.
I have no, I'm not saying that that happened. I'm just saying that if, I don't know what happened. I don't know if he was, if they offered to have him come, and I don't know. But I do think that the people that they did bring were very strategically chosen by either the DSCC,
Senate and then campaign committee.
Yeah. Or by the Martin campaign. I don't know how the people that came ended up coming, but I think they were good choices.
Yeah. I mean it's just it was just one that kind of struck out. I mean it struck me. I totally got why Barack Obama didn't show up in the state. I mean he cut the ads. I'm sure they did some mail pieces. I mean, they were.
I got a holiday card from him with a, you know, vote for Jim Martin.
Did you? Tim, I don't know about you, I haven't received any mail of any type.
No,
so
no.
I've been talking to people around the, you know, and I'm hoping that the Martin campaign is not taking Democrats outside of metro areas for granted. Cause to me, every vote's going to count. If this thing is a, you know, anywhere from 6 to 3 point margin, every vote's going to count. And that you can't, you know, neglect anybody in any corner of the state. But I have been hearing that, that a lot of folks have not gotten mail.
That was the only thing we got.
Campaign. Yeah. But, I mean, that would play into the fact that, you know, you live more in the metro Atlanta area as opposed to outside of it, which is just interesting to think about because I know, you know.
Well, I also live in a predominantly African-American neighborhood.
Yeah. But, I mean, they are
so
able
they
to
have,
see.
They may have picked zip codes that they thought were predominantly
if they did whole zip codes, yes. Because, I mean, they can actually target down to the, you know, the address and then look
right
at the W's and the B's and the H's and L's or whatever it may be.
Well, David, what I have gotten is two phone calls. One from someone who was with the Obama campaign, who's now working in that campaign as a loaner. And the other call was from our old friend Wendy just a couple of nights ago, just checking in to make sure that everything was okay with the vote builder file and things like that.
Yeah.
Have you not gotten either of those calls?
I've called from Wendy, I mean, certainly, but yeah, I just, but it's just interesting to see. And it may, you know, there may be robocalls across the spectrum to anybody that's a reliable Democratic voter soon. I knew why, like I early voted so early last time, I guess it was truly absentee. I didn't get a lot of action, if you will, as far as mail pieces and things like that because I was struck off the, you know, he's already voted. We can't get his vote.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, I'm going to look at the contrast by voting on election day and see if more comes in, and I just was struck by that. But that's just as far as the visits and that kind of thing. Of course, the ads continue to go on, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. We've got a whole segment, if you will. But before we do that, I did want to mention that Kevin Ross and I are kicking off a weekly show on Tuesdays at 8 o'clock. It's going to be Tuesday at 8 every week. I think the first week we're going to do 90 minutes. We're going to go a little extra. But the first show, because that's election night, I'm actually going to go down to where the election night party for Jim Martin and Jim Powell are and go down there and broadcast from there, try to get some folks on the line that are there. Catherine, if you're there, I definitely want you to stop by and
I'm planning on
get
being
on
there
the phone for a little bit. And is that going to be at the Park Tavern again?
As far as I know, yes.
Okay, because we'll
Jim Powell's going to be downstairs and Jim Martin's going to be upstairs.
Yes,
that's
and
where
so
I
that'll be great. And so what I'll be able to broadcast there kind of on a national basis. Kevin will be out in L.A. But the Tuesday night's going to give us a good, you know, little thing going on because that's also going to be the day of inauguration. It's going to be on a Tuesday.
Cool.
So it's going to give us a day to really be kind of on the action night for politics. And we're real excited about the idea of, you know, being able to broadcast right there from where results are coming in. And really, I noticed that Kevin got the idea right off. I mean, for me, I live in Georgia. People could say, oh, you're just being Georgia biased. I mean, he got the idea, hey, this is the big election. So we're real excited about that. It's going to be called Game On. I'll post the link somewhere, but I wanted to let everybody know. So that way, if you're not at anything and the TV channels are not covering elections and you're like, I want to hear something, what's going on, you can listen to us and you'll get a political fix that day between 8 and 9:30. But that was something I just wanted to mention. I tell you, throughout the show, we're going to play the some of the Saxby ads that we were given by Mike Cantone, and I'll go ahead and play one now, and then we're going to come back in on the other side and talk about television spots in the U.S. Senate race. Go ahead and play Saxby Sugar.
Honey, did you know that Senator Saxby Chambliss has taken millions of dollars from special interests?
Oh, yeah, but it doesn't take millions to make Saxby shameless. When Imperial Sugar wrote him a check in June, they sure got their money's worth.
Oh, yeah, the Imperial Sugar plant, the one that exploded, killing 13 and injuring 40 Georgia workers, just like you and me. And did you know a whistleblower told Congress the plant was dangerous for some time despite warnings? Yet Saxby attacked him and not the company.
Ugh. Tom Barton of the Savannah Morning News wrote, "A Georgia senator who's running for re-election should be sticking up for Georgia workers, not toting for corporate suits 4 states away."
Man, working Georgians deserve a senator who'll fight for us. I guess we just don't have enough money to buy a seat at Saxby's table.
Isn't it time Georgia's working families had a senator who works for our interests, not special interests? This November, fire Saxby Shameless. Your boss would.
Visit SaxbyShameless.com today to learn more.
Take Back Georgia, Inc. is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or a candidate's committee. Paid for by Take Back Georgia, Inc.
Yes. Well, that was one of the Take Back Georgia radio spots. Didn't have a television spot that dealt with that content, although I do think one of the spots did mention about the sugar industry and how Saxby Chambliss is tied to that. But we thought we'd look at all the TV ads, not only the ones that Jim Martin and Saxby Chambliss's campaigns did, but the ones that the DSCC, the NRCC, NRSCC, and that gets confused with the Republican Senatorial Committee, and then, of course, all of the groups that have done ads on each side. Thought we'd go look at that. Catherine, what do you have as far as, let's go ahead and handle it this way. Let's do Chambliss first, the best Chambliss ad, the worst Chambliss ad, and then we'll go around to Tim and I'll take it from there.
Well, I thought that the best one, I watched a lot of them on YouTube today. I don't know if I saw all of them, but I went through and sort of graded them, and the one that came up with an A, as far as what I thought was effective for him, which is hard for me to do with Saxby Chambliss, was the one that I think it's called It All Comes Down To, and it's like the whole Senate comes down to Jim Martin in Georgia. I thought that was pretty effective for, you know, delivering the message of, you know, a dominant Senate for the Democrats. And you and I are going to disagree on the ones I liked least. I thought that the Thanksgiving ad was in the poorest taste I've ever seen. The way he groped his granddaughter at the end and that whole Big Daddy thing, I thought it was really, really offensive. And I thought the one with his mother, Emma, was pretty awful too.
The devil, and that didn't run a lot of times. They didn't put a lot of points behind the Saxby was a little devil, that ad. I remember that one. Tim, what you got?
Well, interestingly enough, among Chambliss's best ads, I actually had two. Number one, there was one called Values. I don't know if either one of you remember seeing this particular ad, but it was full of information, just full of information, with him talking about, you know what he believes, essentially. And of all things, the other thing, I thought the Thanksgiving ad was a good ad. Now, the thing I thought those two ads had in common was the fact that neither one of them was attack ads, which, unfortunately, I can't say that for just about every other ad that Chambliss has run. Are we going to his worst ads now?
Go ahead and go to his worst two, and then
My worst one that really stuck out to me. It first aired the day after Election Day. It was Chambliss standing there talking. He attacked Martin personally on this thing. The title of this particular ad was Desperate.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a sitting U.S. incumbent senator who was favored to win handily, and he's forced into a runoff, and the day after that, he has the nerve to get on television and attack his opponent as being desperate? Oh, come on.
Yeah, because we definitely know who is desperate. I mean, Jim Martin,
right.
That's one thing. He's been playing this whole election with house money, if you will. I mean, he's been the underdog throughout. This race, I mean, basically I think Simple thought this would look more like the Bob Took race in Tennessee at times against Lamar Alexander, and it certainly hadn't, because I think the people of Georgia have no real connection with Saxby Chambliss, unlike a lot of the Tennessee voters with Lamar Alexander. But I guess, yeah, Catherine, you're right about what I would say was the best one, and I'll tell you why I say that, is that Thanksgiving ad. One, you're looking at this election thing, you're thinking, how can I spend my money? I'm 5 days out of election. I can't run an attack ad on Thanksgiving. What do I put my points behind? Because you know a lot of folks are sitting around watching the Detroit Lions and the Dallas Cowboys and all these games, and, of course, some of the shows still do their regular shows at night. So you got all this time, and you got to put something on. You can't run one of these attack ads, which is 80 to 90% of what he's got. You know, they've done more different effects on that one picture, Jim Martin, black and white, fuzzy, Sepia, yell it out, red it out. Man, they've done everything they can with that picture. But so he has to run something. So he runs this ad, and I think it goes for me back to Drew Weston. He said, you know, likability, making people like you. Now, I don't think
Oh, yeah, you like him because he groped his granddaughter?
Well, but I'm not going to like him because I didn't even notice that, to be honest.
Oh, you're kidding me.
I
oh, my God, you got to look at it.
I didn't even notice it.
Could notice it, David. I don't know how you could notice it.
Well,
it's
so
obvious.
A little girl, not a, you know, a older child.
She's
so.
A teenager.
Well.
I mean, seriously, you better look at it again. He, like, goes for the, I mean, it was unbelievable.
I think let's go ahead and put this on hold for a second while we take our caller. Caller from the 706, I'm unmuting you now. Welcome.
Hello.
Yes. Hello.
Hello, this is Jim Powell. How you doing?
Hey, Mr. Powell.
Hey,
I thought it might be you. Thank you for calling in for us.
So
you've been on the bus tour.
Been on the bus tour. We're all over the state. All over the state. Just trying to reach as many voters as we can reach between now and December the 2nd.
Where all you been?
Oh, gosh. We've been to Savannah. We've been to Columbus. We've been to Valdosta. We've been to Macon. We have been to Dublin. We've been to, oh gosh, you know, let me count the cities. I'm running out of fingers and toes.
So the bus tour, and apparently you've been running your Get Out the Vote exposure tour, if you will, in concert with Jim Martin. How's that been going?
Well, it's been going well. I mean, we get good reception regardless of where we go. I mean, we go to these Campaign for Change offices that are located throughout the state, and all these offices are just fully staffed. People are going out canvassing, they're phone banking, just trying to reach as many voters as they can possibly reach between now and December the 2nd. I'm, you know, organized labor, they have people all over the state trying to reach folks to remind them to vote on December the 2nd. I think it's going good. I'm really optimistic about this.
Yes, well, you're also here with Tim and Catherine. Catherine, any quick questions for Jim?
Well, no, it's so great to hear from you. Thank you so much for calling. I think we're all very optimistic about your election.
We appreciate that.
Tim?
It's good. I'm sorry. It's good to talk to you again, Catherine. I think we did this a while ago.
Yeah. And I saw George last night. He's working hard. He's a great guy. You're lucky to have him.
I am. He's done a great job.
Mr. Powell, I do have to get your comment on just one thing. For the first time that I can ever remember, a Libertarian candidate actually endorsed a Democrat in the runoff. Did that surprise you a little bit when Brandon Gibbons endorsed you?
Well, not really, because if you look at the issues that Brandon was promoting, you know, really not that different from what I'm promoting. I mean, yeah, he's a little bit more open market in promoting more competition within the utility industry, but I mean, what some of the other things that he issues he had, such as efficiency and renewable energy, were certainly in line with my platform. You know, I'm honored to get Brandon's endorsement. I'm honored to get the endorsement of Jimmy Carter, and I'm also honored to get the endorsement of Republican Commissioner Angela Speer, who crossed the party line to endorse me. She thinks energy is just so important to the state of Georgia that it transcends party lines, and she's just come out big time for me, and I truly appreciate that.
Okay, thank you, sir. David?
Yes, and I was thinking about that. You seem to have a lot of people that either they like what you're saying or they kind of see Bubba McDonald for somebody that's a little opportunistic, been on both sides of the aisle, run for a lot of different races, kind of moves around. Do you think that's helping your campaign a big way, and what kind of difference is that going to make on Tuesday?
I think it is. I think, you know, you're absolutely correct. I seem to have I'm a first time candidate, so I'm a rookie at all this, and I believe me, I've learned a lot since early May, and I think that in itself is appealing to some voters because you know, so many of these commissioners are career politicians. They either had a career in the General Assembly or they've been on county commission, and you know, they really don't know that much about utilities. And they get elected to the commission, they seem to find a job for life. You know, I think that's changing. I think they're looking at fresh faces. They're looking at people that have experience. They can hit the ground running and bring some progressive new energy ideas to the state. That appeals to not only Democrats, I think it appeals to a number of Republicans. If you look at the Republican primary between Pam Davidson and Bubba McDonald, Pam Davidson got 48% of the vote, and Bubba got 52%. There are a lot of people that voted for Pam Davidson that I hope to vote for me. By the way, Pam Davidson also endorsed me.
Yes, I think I read that too, and that's somebody that has a lot of experience that would have been a better nominee for the Republicans, although the more I learned about her, she seemed like the kind of candidate that in years past might have run as a Democrat. And I think your victory, hopefully, on Tuesday will show a lot of these folks there's no reason, if you feel strongly about the Democratic label, that you shouldn't run on our side.
Amen.
You can win. And I tell you, I've been saying for a while now, one of the places where the Republicans made their initial gains back in the early 90s was on the PSC, and hopefully your victory will be a harbinger for a return for Democrats by winning a PSC race like this early on, and then more victories will follow.
Well, yeah, I think you're absolutely correct, and I think, you know, the success that we had not only in the primary, but the success we had in the general election is a testimony to, you know, how the voters feel, and also to the hard work that we've done since early May. I got 85% of the vote in the primary. You know, I got 48% of the vote in the general election. We had Brandon Givens, Libertarian, ended up with 5% of the vote, so it threw us into a runoff. You know, I beat Bubba by 24,000 votes. And I'm gonna take it in December 2nd too.
Yes. Well, I know you got to get back on the bus soon, but where is the bus got to do some? Are you going to have more stops tonight, or is it just tomorrow, saving up for that final full day? And I know the Ludacris and John Lewis and lots of folks are doing a rally tomorrow downtown. What's left?
Well, tomorrow's a big day. We're starting early in the morning. A number of TV spots. And then from there we're going to Augusta, and from Augusta we're going down to Fort Valley, and then back to Atlanta for a big rally tomorrow afternoon. And there may be a few other stops thrown in there along the way. We try to maximize those trips on that bus tour.
Yes, and if there's something somebody wanted to do to help you win between now and Tuesday, what would that be?
Well, I'd like to challenge each one of your listeners that are interested in seeing me get elected to call folks and remind them that we have an election on December the 2nd, and tell them not to forget that they need to get out and vote. Don't be dismayed by any lines that we may have. I mean, I'm hoping we won't have lines, but then again, that would be a good thing too, wouldn't it? So I'm just reminding as many people as we can get out to vote that we have an election that's an important election, not only for Jim Powell, but Jim Martin. I mean, you know, Jim Martin's a great candidate, and I think Jim can win this too. But we just need to bring folks to the polls.
Yes. Well, Mr. Powell, I want to thank you for joining us and giving us your valuable time right here before the election.
Y'all, very much. I really appreciate the opportunity, and wish us well.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you, folks.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was great to get that report, and I mean, I understand that while early in the race in the campaign season, getting a call, you know, it's like, oh, great opportunity for the candidates. But now it's gotten to be where, man, it's like doing us a huge favor to get in on here, because it's in this final push. And when you're campaigning at 7:30 out in Gwinnett County on a Sunday night, you can tell that every minute counts. So I want to thank Mr. Powell again. I think we have another caller on the line for us from the 404. Welcome, caller.
Hey, David, it's Steve.
Hey, Steve, I thought it'd be you. Steve, you were out with Mr. Powell, I guess not, you know, traveling around with him, but out in being one of the hosts of this Gwinnett County rally, and you're just going to tell us about the whole thing. What did you see out there?
Well, it was a good crowd. It was, I don't know, last head count I got before it started was somewhere between 135 and 145. People were still coming in. a big, big diverse group. A lot of the Bengali community showed up, Indian, Pakistani, just a true diversity of the area around Norcross. It was a great event. It was well turned out. We had a lot of our volunteers there, you know, that have been working for Jim. So it was a good turnout.
Yes, and so I guess both Mr. Powell spoke, who just spoke to us, and Jim Martin spoke. Kind of tell us, what did Jim Martin say in these final days?
Jim fired him up. He's it's similar when you've been. I've been on a few of these, so it's the stump speech is pretty much routine. But you know, he's talking about helping out about agenda, and you know, not to. It was funny. He told Republicans not to be afraid to vote for him because you know Saxby's just pushing the fear factor, and all the Democrats are going to run everything. When actually, I mean, you guys have talked about it. The CNN polls show that people around the country are comfortable with Democrats running it on both sides of the House and the Senate. So, Jim, it was a good stump speech. It fired up a lot of people that I have not seen participating in the past, and that was the most important part.
Yes. Now, you're out there in Gwinnett County, and so I want to talk to you just about Democrats in Gwinnett, and, of course, that'll follow into Jim Martin and Jim Powell. Gwinnett County probably saw the biggest shift from staunchly Republican to a little bit of a battleground, if you will. I mean, I don't want to oversell it, but probably the biggest shift of any county, certainly any sizable county, that we've seen in a long time happen from last election to this election in Gwinnett County. What's going on there?
Well, what we saw was Republican turnout stayed flat. They really, actually, I think they were down a couple percent. And we increased our turnout and our overall voting numbers by over 44,000 votes for this election. So we're definitely seeing a big increase. You know, we've known that the demographics have been favoring us for a while, but we're still probably, you know, 4 or 6 years out. But we came really close. We picked up one state House seat entirely within the county in Lawrenceville, House District 104. And we came really close to one of the school board seats, and I think we're going to pick up one of those in 2010.
Yes. I got Catherine and Tim both on the line as well. Tim, any questions for Steve about the rally or Gwinnett politics?
Well, I wanted to ask you about what you were just talking about, because some pundits have mused that the donut is actually moving out away from Atlanta. And the closer you get in, the more Democratic it's becoming in these donut counties now. Do you think that's what's playing itself out?
Yeah, we see we have a strong band, and then we have like a Republican horseshoe around it within the county. So the 85 corridors become strongly Democratic. But the funny thing is those areas out in Grayson and Loganville are starting to turn kind of purple, which that's the upper income moderates that are coming around now too. It's not just our traditional Democratic base.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Catherine?
Hey, Steve, it's Catherine. Do you think it's just a demographic shift, or do you think it's a policy shift as well?
I think some of it's policy. I mean, a lot of it's demographics. I think if we start hammering on transportation and education, the things that moderate Republicans feel as well. And we get a moderate Democrat elected out here, and they say, you know what, I agree with this guy. Let's give the Democrats a chance, because the Republicans have done a terrible job leading in the county government out here.
That's good. That's actually really good news, because, you know, demographic shifts are a little bit more difficult to predict. But
mm-hmm.
if we can hit them on policy, I think that's – and demographics, I think that's really good news for the, you know, kind of forward-thinking Democrats.
Yeah, I think we're going to spend the next couple of years really working on issues.
Yeah, I think that's you know, because that's ultimately what we want, right? That's why we do this.
Yeah.
Because we want to change in policy. So.
Demographic shifts. I mean, then we take a census and we go, oh, well, that's what it'll be. And that's just so disheartening when, you know, somebody's race or somebody's, you know, marriage status or whatever completely determines who they're going to vote for. I like to see where people think and say, hey, maybe I'm a white married person living in a suburb. I can be a Democrat. And that's
exactly.
Yeah, because our numbers were, I know around the state it was like 22%, you know, white males voted for Obama, but ours was a little bit higher than that, which is good, because we're seeing that we have, you know, we're going to break some of that mold, hopefully.
That's great news. And how's the party out there? Are you guys strong?
The party's going good. We're starting to get more folks involved. Of course, the Obama wave has brought in more folks as well.
And do they seem to be interested in staying involved?
Well, it's funny because, you know, the first month or so, we're trying to tell them it's not just Obama, it's a whole ticket. You know, you need to get involved for all of it and the local party, and they're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, about 3 weeks before the election, they start looking at things and start realizing. And then after the election, when they see how close some of our races were, they're like, man, we could have done more. So I think there's a little bit of that now of the folks that want to come into the party that are getting it. They understand now that it's not just the top of the ticket.
Yeah, all you have to do is remind them that President-elect Barack Obama was a state senator.
Absolutely.
And that's where the next Barack Obama or whoever is going to come from. So, in all likelihood. So it's good to keep all those things in the front of our minds, is that we have to bring people up from the state and from the counties to, you know, really make a change. But
yeah, and
I know
one
you guys
last
have been working really hard. It's great.
One last plug, Catherine. You know, these guys that – we've got, I know they've been saying there's been 100 organizers in the state from Obama. We've got 63 in Loudoun County, or I'm sorry, Loudoun, Jesus, I got Virginia on my brain right now. We've got 63 organizers in Gwinnett County alone that have come from California, and we got one from Kentucky today. Five more came in from North Carolina. So these guys are working 22 hours a day, you know, getting out here, and they're doing, you know, tons of calls and canvassing for the last week and a half. So I think there might be some surprises on Tuesday.
That would make us all very happy.
Yes, well, so, go ahead.
No, so Jim actually recognized Max Stahl, who's one of the regional field directors who's been in Gwinnett County, that we basically, you know, because all of us volunteers in the party work, we turned over the keys and said, here's where everything's at. Ask us what you need to know and let them run with it. So they've been doing a super job.
And that's good to have, just that person that can spend full time on it, but then listens to the folks that live in the county and know the area. You got to have that kind of cooperation, and that's what makes everything go. Because you have plenty of people to have, one, the time, and when they're paid, and then plenty of people to have the know-how, but they don't have the time. Well, Steve, thanks for calling in and give us that report in one of those last few election events of the year, really.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thanks for the time. Sorry I took up so much of your time.
Oh,
you did. We wanted
to. Thank you.
It
was great.
Great. Thank you,
sir. All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks.
Good night.
Yeah. Well, Steve gave us a good report, so it's good to have some information out there in Gwinnett from that rally. And it's good to hear about Gwinnett because, you know, that's what – one of the three largest population counties in Georgia, and really, in many ways, like the most Republican county up until a few years ago, if you look at the percentage of vote and the number of votes. I mean, obviously, there were more Republican percentage counties, such as Forsyth, but they didn't produce the pure numbers that Gwinnett did. So it's really, really heartening to see some shift there in Gwinnett, although now if it's where all those folks from Gwinnett move out to Hall and move out to Barrow and Jackson County, then and the same, and you know, it's just voters that lived in DeKalb or Fulton before, that's not good. It has to be shifting of true votes and in people's minds. Yes, well, I guess going back to our other discussion about ads, we were disagreeing about the Thanksgiving spot for Saxby Chambliss, and obviously, you know, there's always things you can pick out. I mean, the Big Daddy stuff, all those, you know, people call their grandparents the cheesiest things, and that, and to anybody else, it just looks totally cheesy. It always does. And so I don't, and then, you know, where he grabbed her, I'm surprised nobody filming that spot said, hey, let's kind of retape that for that thing. But, you know, no one must have noticed until it was, you know, in the can.
Well, it was on Wonkette.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was noticed, obviously, by Blog for Democracy, and I mean, I just didn't think about it when I saw it. I just was talking about the true, like, okay, it shows likabilities, you know, and he mentions one thing that nobody mentioned in their blog post until I actually commented on it, is that he actually said, our prayers with President Bush, President-elect Obama, and the troops, and I thought, huh, you would think of Saxby Chambliss as partisan as he is, they would have probably said, okay, President Bush and the troops. Oh, well, we can't do that. We have to say something about Obama. Oh, well, let's just say the troops. Forget both of them. You know, and I was just surprised, and not that I think it means any kind of big bipartisanship for Saxby. I do think it's trying to he's trying to get those moderates that may not actually, you know, hate the ground Barack Obama and every other Democrat walks on, and he's actually trying to appeal to that voter, which is one of the first times I've seen any sign of that. And I think it's superficial, but I did see that, you know, appeal to likability in the ad.
Well, I agree with you that I think a family ad like that is appealing. But I just we were talking about this today that, you know, for the last couple cycles, it seems like the Republicans, until now, the Republicans really had this, like, marketing and, you know, presentation stuff down really good, really well. But I think they've lost it now. And I think the Democrats have gotten much stronger in how we present our message and how we put our candidates forward. Because, you know, we talked about that early ad that Saxby did that was really old and badly filmed.
And that's my least favorite, by the way.
Yeah,
I
know.
The old Georgia flag, it was just garbage.
Yeah, and then you look at some of the and I'm not just talking about ads. I'm talking about the way, like, for instance, the way John McCain was dressed and made up for the cameras. He looked cold and stiff, and Barack Obama looked very welcoming and warm. And so I think that, I mean, I'm not complaining. I'm glad. But I think that the Republicans have kind of lost their footing in that regard. And I don't know if it's because of Karl Rove, you know, not being as involved or what. But I'm thankful for it. But I do think there's some evidence that they're just sort of slipping in their game. And that ad is a good example, because I think that ad would have been very effective if they hadn't had those, you know, a couple of pretty major flaws, in my opinion. And I wish Jim Martin had done something like that, too, because his family is very compelling. I mean, he's got all those brothers and the big family. It would have filled up the screen.
Yes, and there really isn't a lot you can run on Election Day.
Well, you know, I got a robocall on Thanksgiving Day.
I said Election Day, Thanksgiving Day. And then also it would have tied in with his daughter, who he talks about being kidnapped, which is a very good ad to thwart the, you know, Jim Martin soft on any kind of crime. He's been the victim of one of the most heinous kind of crimes you can be victim to. And so it kind of would, you know, then pull in, oh, wow, she's an adult now, and I don't know if she's kids of her own, but, I mean, she's everything turned out well. Another bad ad, I think, for Chambliss was that that armored truck ad. He actually didn't do it on his own, and it's all about check card voting for unions.
Yeah,
it's very inside baseball.
Oh.
I don't think the average voter is going to vote on that, so it's only going to be the hardcore insiders that are, you know, that even understand that issue fully from that goofy armored truck ad, which don't ask me what that's all about, because I doubt they're transporting those votes in armored trucks. But and so, therefore, who's it really influencing? I guess that whatever PAC committee's pushing that, I'm sure they're happy getting it out there, but I don't think it's having any impact. Well, gosh, we've got like 12 minutes. We got to finish up this segment and get to Tim, so let's run quick with the positives and negatives for Jim Martin.
Can me go first?
Go ahead, Catherine, that's fine.
Okay. I thought his best ad was the one where he says, "I'm not going to insult your intelligence," or something. Jim Martin's, I thought that was very, you know, he talks about the issues. It was just him on the screen talking directly to the camera. I thought that was very sort of compelling and interesting, and talked about the issues and talked about him. The worst one I thought was the one that you think was one of the better ones, which was the Becky. I found it to be pandering. Oh,
yeah.
Poor me. My daughter got kidnapped when she was a child.
But
I
think
like
he's
it.
Trying to say he's been attacked over and over. He's soft on crime. You know, people can rape people, and Jim Martin wants to set them free. You know, all that garbage that they've been putting down there, that he said you could sell drugs next to school. I mean, they've been hitting him on crime. I mean, my goodness, he's been being hit by about three elections now on those votes. I mean, I don't know all the technical issues on those votes, but he's been hit on those a lot. So I think that is trying to say, hey, I'm not Mr. Soft on Crime like you want to say. This is why. He put a real face on it. That's what Drew Weston says.
I know. When I looked at all of them today, it was the one that I found the least effective. That, but I did also like he said no, the one where he talks about, you know, the children's health care and Saxby voted no and Saxby voted no on this and that. I thought that was really effective too.
Yes, Tim, go ahead.
Well, my best Martin ad to me easily was one called America is Back.
Yeah, that one's really good too.
You might recall it started off showing Jim in the military. The ad was uplifting. It was hopeful. It's just an ad you watched and you felt good about the candidate when the ad was over. And my worst Martin ad to me was one called Root. Now, in this ad, Chambliss was attacked for supporting the $700 billion bailout. Well, the problem there is that, you know, most Democrats, including President-elect Obama, also supported that. So he was treading on dangerous ground by even going there with that.
Yeah, and Saxby's been beating him up on that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then as far as best, I think the real changer in the election, and it may have been other things that helped move it, but where he really started to move was that Saxby economics ad with the chalkboard, and he was there. And the chalkboard kind of lays out, and it was the first good case, you know, in a 30-second fashion against Saxby Chambliss. I think Del Cardwell actually did some good stuff with investigative reporter stuff, but that was more than 30 seconds. So I thought that was a really good ad because it also coincided with some movement in the polls. So you want to say that they're somehow related to each other, meaning that it actually has science, if you will, or proof behind it. And then the other ad that I'd really it really was the first ad out of the box. It was in the primary. It was the introduction ad where instead of talking about, you know, the time in the military, he had people talking on his behalf. And one was kind of interesting. It was Hattie Dorsey, who was related to Sidney Dorsey, and that got kind of brought up negative. It was just kind of a blah ad out of the box. And one thing I've noticed that almost every ad we've mentioned has been from one of the candidates themselves, not one of the committees, not one of these outside groups other than the armored truck one. The ones that seem to invoke the emotion, either positive or negative, were the ones the candidates did for themselves, which I guess make some kind of statement on how effective the third-party ads are at times. But one more thing before I would go to Tim. I noticed today I was watching the recording of the Georgia game, and people like Phil Kent and Dick Williams are like, oh, yeah, I like these Obama economic picks. They're more to the center. But, you know, of course, they're, of course, reclaiming that a lot of these Democrats are somehow Republicans even because they want to, you know, tout their own party and all this nonsense. But really it's just folks that are economists and for what have you. But they're talking about how happy they are with how Obama's moving to the, you know, the center. And at the same time, Saxby Chambliss, one of the outside groups, I believe GOP, No, or one of these groups, plays this ad about how dangerous socialist Barack Obama is, and we must stop his socialist agenda. It may not have used the word socialist, but it was this, you know, Obama is the radical. And you got Phil Kent and Dick Williams saying Obama the centrist, and then the ad's trying to sell him as radical. And Fred Barnes on, what is that show? It's like the only good 30 minutes of political talk on Fox News, the Beltway Boys. And not every minute of it's even good, but it's just laid out well. And that's that show, even Fred Barnes is like, I like what Obama's doing. So it's kind of like you're trying to sell him as the radical still on these ads, or at least this group is, but yet the Republican pundits are not playing ball with you, if you will. So I think that's a interesting tact. But Tim, go ahead with outrage.
Okay, and I'd like to give a little credit for this thing before I start to Steve Anthony, who was talking about this on the show last week, and kind of put a bug in my head to go and check this thing out. And so this is kind of offbeat, but I wanted to bring it out there anyway. Now, I want everyone out there that's listening to me tonight to do something for me. Get out a piece of paper and something to write with. Now, write down the name Stefan, S-T-E-F-A-N, Passantino, P-A-S-S-A-N-T-I-N-O. And remember that name because it's going to be very important in Georgia politics in the coming months, even though you might not hear the name all that much. And here's why. As we all now know, about 2 million Georgia voters took part in the extended early voting period this year. And we also now know that this extended early voting really did great things for Georgia Democrats, thanks mainly to the efforts of the Obama campaign and their organization. Well, needless to say, all of that has not set real well with Georgia Republican leaders since the election results have become known. Many of them, like Eric Johnson and Karen Handel, just to name a couple, just in the last week have already indicated that the present election rules, which were put into place by the Republican legislature, might need to be revisited in the next legislative session. Now, that's where Mr. Passantino comes in. Mr. Passantino is an Atlanta attorney. His firm is McKenna, Long, and Aldridge, and this firm specializes in political matters. Some of its better-known clients are folks like Newt Gingrich and Denny Hastert, Michael Steele, and our old buddy Bob Barr. And Mr. Passantino is already advising GOP leaders on how to deal with both early voting and the 50% rule in the pages of our newspapers. He made his feelings known on early voting when he told the AJC that it was, quote, uncontrolled voting and, quote, unchecked voting. And right there, we can see how the Republicans are going to come up with their excuse to change this rule. They're going to claim that extended early voting leaves the door open for more voter fraud. They always use voter fraud as an excuse for everything. Never mind that they can never actually come up with any voter fraud and prove it. What the truth is this. The Republicans thought that extended early voting would help them, but it didn't. So they're going to change the rule again so that it does help them. They don't give a damn about the voters, just their voters. They don't want to make it easier for all voters to vote. So Passantino has already given him their reason to change it in his newspaper interview. And the Republicans were also the ones, you might recall, who changed the 45% rule back to the 50% rule. Again, they thought this change would help them. After all, they said it was the Democrats who changed it to 45% after Watch Fowler lost his runoff back in 92. And they were right about that. And I didn't like what the Democrats did there either. But now the same thing has happened to their guy, to Saxby Chambliss. So the Republicans want to change it right back, and I bet that they do just that. For years, the Republicans said that the Democrats made up these rules just to favor themselves and their own electability. They always promised Georgia voters that things would be different when they took power. Well, they lied. So in January, I want everyone to watch the legislature make a move on early voting and the 45% rule. They'll do it, and they'll give reasons why. And be assured, in the background somewhere, you can find some law firm tying up all the loose legal stuff in a neat little package. My personal guess is that it will probably be Mr. Passantino's firm, since they are the largest of their kind in the state. And thanks to the efforts of a guy like that who most people have never heard of, the voters will be the losers, but that's the way in politics. It ain't about the voters. It's all about who gets their ox gored, isn't it, David?
Tim, I tell you what, when I was growing up, there was a wrestling tag team named the Midnight Express with Jim Cornette, and he used to say, just when you think you got us beat, we change the rules. And, of course, they were a heel tag team. They were the bad guys. And so, you know, well, that seems like the Republican Party's motto.
Steve mentioned this last week. You remember, Catherine, to watch them, that they'd be doing this very thing in January.
Yeah. Oh, yes, and that's the way they operate. Well, another great show, reports from live election rallies. Go ahead and make sure you join us either live at one of the parties for Jim Powell, Jim Martin. It sounds like myself and Catherine will both be there. Or if you can't make it, listen to the Tuesday show, blogtalkradio.com/gameon. I think it'll also be on the front page. that day. But another great show. We'll see you here in back in December, where we recap, I guess, the entire Georgia political season, because it will be officially in the books. Thank you all.
Okay. Good night. Guys. Good night.